State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Have you experienced bacon the right way? Because there's bacon. And then there's Wright Brand No. 1 Thick Cut Real Wood Smoked Bacon. Make the most of your morning and wake up to the aroma of Wright Brand Bacon's smoky, savory goodness, expertly smoked over real wood chips. Cook hand-cut, hand-trimmed Wright Brand Bacon in the oven and make it the star of your breakfast. Tap the screen now to learn more about Wright Brand Bacon.
You don't know where that song came from.
All right, hold up.
Yo, before you play it, give me some silence. I need the backstory. We're at the club.
That's why he bought it upside down.
Put it in my hand.
We only need one tequila bottle.
Is it we only need? He said we only need one tequila bottle.
I really drink that, but I'm going to drink this right now.
It's on you. It's on you. Whatever you rock with.
Before he cue it up, how did that come about?
Give me my domino. It was a whole nother song. It was called You Just a Bitch.
Oh.
Lil Jon had a song called I Like Them Girls.
That was
Them niggas went crazy.
Yeah, that was my shit.
I said, I like them. 12 inch. Oh, because only one song. Ain't nothing like pimping at the end.
The 12 inch had a B side. And the B side was, you just a bitch.
Hold on, I'm asking. So at the end of one of your songs is Ain't Nothing Like Pimping. The nigga is doing the ad libs. Ain't nothing like pimping. Now you know.
That's MC Breed, ain't it?
I want a bitch that's a top notch hoe, just a bitch.
That's MC Breed. What did he say, Lo?
Yeah. I want a bitch that's a top notch hoe, just a bitch.
Two short come right behind him.
Motherfuck you, damn shithead bitch.
So okay, bitch, we gotta ask this. We gotta ask this. Why is bitch Too Short's favorite word?
Oh, man, you know
why they want to say it like short?
I don't know.
Bitch.
It's kind of like you take a little bit of all the elements of what influences you. I was like, you know, like the Mac, no fucking, what's my man, Dolomite?
Yeah.
Fucking
Willie Dynamite.
Willie Dynamite, them niggas right
that
there.
Was coming.
And you just like, you know, you got to figure out who your character going to be, you know? Reading all the fucking Donald Goins books, I'm like,
come on, yeah.
You know, who's your character going to be?
That's another one of my questions. I was going to ask you your top five Oakland pimps.
What that juice
at? So it's like,
drunk motherfucker around there.
Judgment
zone. Hey, man, I'm going to drink with you, sure. I'm going to check that out of my bucket list. What are you talking about, man? Shit.
You say, bitch. Then you say, bitch. And then you say, bitch. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of progressed.
Oh, nigga, that's classic.
And then you get in front of the crowd, and you're rocking, like, you know, everybody, all our rappers was like, somebody said, ho, ho. I was like,
fuck that.
Yeah. Somebody say bitch.
I'm going to stay. Somebody say slut.
Where the craziest place that you saw that reaction that you didn't think that you would see the reaction when you say bitch and everybody in the crowd? It blew your mind that that many people said bitch.
When you go to them places where they don't speak English, but they know how to do that shit. You know what I mean? They don't speak no fucking English. You see a motherfucker rapping your song. And then you'd be like, oh, boy, he know all the words. And then the motherfucker don't even know English. He like, the only words he know in English
is your words.
The song he memorized.
Your words. Yeah, that's wild.
For real. They do that shit.
Who? What's the strangest request that's, from a lady? This is my next question.
That's Bia Bia?
Yeah. What?
Okay, listen to this. Everybody know this song, right?
Facts.
Play the other version. It's way harder than this.
Which version?
It's called You Just a Bitch. Lil Jon, you just a bitch.
You might have to send that to that nigga. I don't know if that one on the internet.
It's on YouTube.
How many songs do you got called bitches? I heard five songs saying, hey, play bitch. No, play better bitch. Play the last bitch.
Play my other bitch.
No, you didn't see that one. You got to play the other one. That's the other bitch.
Hey, and how many people ran off with it? You said four singers, 10
comedians, 93 rappers. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Did you count?
Hold up, this was my question. What's the strangest request from a lady that came up to you and said, call me a bitch?
They said it every day.
Oh.
Damn.
Every day. Please. Like.
You ever been shocked? Like, you sure?
No. Here you go, right here. Hey, show, do me a favor.
Oh, I call my lady a bitch.
I got the original?
Yeah.
So this is the original bitch.
This one made it to the clean version. Bitch! Bitch!
Yeah.
What's somebody do? They ain't got a girl.
Right.
And they came back with B&B because they couldn't get on the radio.
Right.
Oh, this the original hook right now.
Yeah. Get your hands up.
This shit was that 559 shit.
Put your hands up.
Niggas up in there throwing each other around.
Get your hands up.
I ain't putting my hands up.
Hey, you know, niggas don't
like,
know.
This what you think?
Hey, niggas really don't know. When they was fucking inventing crunk,
what?
I was standing right there. I was in the fucking room. Every studio session, I was on the fucking songs. I was here.
Yeah.
And then it go. It's like, okay. It's all ATLs. It's the A. It's the A.
Right.
But I'm like, nigga, I remember when it was Memphis.
Yeah.
And ATL borrowed it.
Yeah.
And turned it into something big and better. Start making it.
Yeah. Okay. Hold up. Give me some minutes.
He ain't wrong.
You can't say we stole some shit.
And I fought with the A, but he ain't wrong.
You don't remember the Pimp C interview, man? Y'all know that's where that music came from, man. That 3-6 Mafia, man.
Hey, that's the perfect time to tell these folks. Welcome back to the 85. You see what we got?
Yeah. We got merch.
This is what you call merch, but on the merch, it says Ghetto Legends.
Fuck right.
We're going to another level with this trap shit. We got a real live Ghetto Legend in here with us today.
Come on,
man. We can really introduce this man for 20 minutes.
Nigga, hide your bitch, man.
Man, I'm telling you.
Hide your bitch, man.
I tell you what, if you're watching this right now, go get your mama.
You hear me?
And tell her we got too short.
Get your ankle.
We not done alone talking. We got too much ground to cover tonight. Shit. This the man that told us all about pussy. He put his work
clockwork in.
Yes,
used to have my Too Short tapes.
Had to.
My mama told me, I don't give a fuck what you listen to, but you better not be listening to Too
Come
Short.
Come on.
I stopped.
Live, I'm talking about he was she graphic. She told a whole generation of young men what to do if you just so happen to stumble upon a bitch.
Mm. Right.
Not a lady.
Right.
Not your girlfriend.
But who?
A bitch.
Gave names too. I met this girl.
Mm-hmm. Her name was what Joan. To do, not what
she's
exactly.
Not the way I rock on the microphone.
Okay.
When I met Joan, I took her home.
Uh-huh.
Nigga.
She was just like a doggy all on my bone. See, he wrote the ghetto Bible.
Exactly.
Come on, man. The ghetto Bible. Come this on, the man. Same man that told us Nancy Reagan came to his house, gave him a blowjob. Licked the dick up and down like it was corn on the cob, and niggas actually believed it.
But what happened?
He ain't have no reason to lie to us.
But what happened?
You tell me.
No, what happened? Later on in life, what they say? Nancy Reagan was the...
Nancy Reagan?
Guap, guap.
They said she was known for it.
Guap, guap.
Guap, guap.
Queen. Crazy.
Throat.
Uncle Goatis.
Goatis?
Goatis.
You know, Ronald Reagan was a big star. That's why he kept
That's how he got
him. Keep it
out.
I don't blame him. I heard he used to rent out, too. But that's none of our business.
Wait a minute.
That's none of our business.
World leaders. A lot of Nancy's got skills, though.
Right. Let me finish the intro.
Okay.
World-renowned speaker.
You better listen. Hey,
motivational talker.
Come on.
OG rap.
Come on.
Pimp player.
Come on.
Yeah.
Macaroni.
Come on.
Had one of the hardest hits in the middle of the crack era.
Come on, man.
Hey.
Been rapping since... Streaming wasn't even a thing.
Streaming?
That nigga got an 8-track he put out.
On both sides, called bitch.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
I just found that out.
Come on.
Don't forget the song that don't ever go away.
Uh-oh.
Shit, which one is that?
All of them.
Nah, the one that never go away.
That one that never go away.
You gotta hear that shit everywhere you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, none other than...
Give it up, who?
Too Short.
Come on. Come on.
First of all, before we get this started, you're in a room full of comedians, and I want to say thank you, because when you said, oh, the skinny girls let Bruce hit it.
Hell yeah.
Shit gave comedians hope.
Yeah, it did.
It gave
you
comedians
shouted out
hope.
Too.
I always fuck with the comedians.
Yeah.
They told me in that bitch,
Bruce really is my homie, so I was like not just trying to rhyme. I was like actually throwing my homie a play.
He came on here. He told us
about that shit.
You got that man so much pussy.
I'm telling you, that's my homie, Bruce. But y'all don't know. Y'all do know he was like the biggest, best comedian in Atlanta for a long time.
Yeah,
he was the king of comedy in Atlanta for a long time.
No cap.
Like a long time. He was that guy, like Bruce.
Yeah.
Like Chris Tucker would have been somewhere going, Bruce, put me on.
Yeah, next time you feeling generous, tell them hoes to let Carlos hit it, too. It's my turn,
right? Next time you going to don't throw us in that moment.
I've been putting it down ever since he left. Come on, it's my turn. Throw my name in there.
Throw them off again. I'm going to fire you, man.
Give Carlos a piece. That's all he wants.
Let DC hit it. I'm going to promote that bitch and everything. You're in a new Too Short.
Yeah, exactly.
So, actually, what year did it all start?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I jumped off the porch like in 1980.
Woo!
And I was like 14 years old then. I started running behind my brother, streets of Oakland. Started rapping at the same time.
Yeah.
And kind of, we used to do the street hustle of just selling tapes. The shit was pretty fucking popular. We used to do customized tapes for the kingpins, you know, the drug kingpins.
Okay.
And then all the foot soldiers, we'd give them like, you know, different little mixtapes and shit. And I finally got to make a record in 1985. That's it's called Don't Stop Rapping. And basically, you know, all my shit come from like street shit. Like the way I got that first album ever was through some street niggas, you know? The way I got my shit out on the streets when we were selling tapes, street niggas. You know what I mean? Like we only sold tapes to drug dealers. And then somebody else would be copying them and let all the civilians get it. But I fucking, 85, dabbled around with this independent label called 75 Girls. And it's some real player shit, 75 Girls. The nigga who owned it was a real player. And it was real, like, real player shit. Like, you walk up, you're supposed to be going to the studio, holler at the label, owner, whatever. Nigga, the bitches is in their panties, they partying, it's music, this nigga.
Oh, the label lived up to his name.
75 girls,
the label.
My man was like, you know, he even like, you know, was giving me like game, like little learning lessons and shit, like, help, like had the broad push up on me, like he had his little girlfriend pull up on me and be like, hey, yeah, short if you tell me some dirt on Dean, I can give you some pussy. I'm a little nigga, right? I'm like, shit, the bitch next door come over every time you leave. And they pull me back. He's like, hey, little homie. He's like, little homie, don't be like that. Like, you know, you know what I'm saying? You in this environment, bro, you got to keep it player. So, you know.
That was a test, though.
Exactly. Like, I had to pull my coat. Hey. Like, I hit it right.
It's 74 more of these. Yeah. You tripping.
So, yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
You tripping.
No,
no,
I'm not. No,
it was a test.
You didn't miss the point.
It was a grown-ass woman. I'm a little ass. Right. She went in the room, said, I'll be right back. She let the robe slip open a little bit. Hey, she ain't never came back.
Told her everything. Listen, that bitch be over here all the time.
But, so you know you got another bitch.
But my nigga gave me the game. He ain't right. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
And later on, I got all this game from him about how to sell independent records, you know, the studio, the manufacturer, the, you know, where to press them up, where the motherfucking, who to distribute them through, all kind of shit. And I started my own shit with some new partners in 87. That's Freaky Tales, all this shit. We've been on the roll ever since. So I don't know where it started, because the nigga been famous since, like, 11th grade. Yeah. But, you know.
You got to tell the 11th grade story. Nigga don't be famous.
Yeah, how you get famous? You dropped something in 86. That's your first official record.
85 is the first album.
Okay, but I want to ask this about the mixtape. So you just catering these straight to the kingpins? You dropping their name? What
I
you
had
doing?
A rap partner named Freddie B.
Okay.
Freddie B was from West Oakland, but he lived in East Oakland. He'd been to, like, Juvenile Hall and the Bad Kids Camp and all that shit. He knew all the street niggas. I didn't really know all the niggas like all over the city. So Freddie B was a rapper. I was a rapper. They tried to pit us against each other. That's what they did back in the day. Like, my homeboy rap, nigga. You know that shit.
Right.
So we get in there. We supposed to be battling or whatever. End up being like homies. And we made a tape. And the nigga, he was like, nigga, we can sell this shit. You know, we little niggas. I'm like, nigga, so we gonna sell it too. Ain't nobody out at the time but fucking like Run DMC and some. This back in the day. This Grandmaster Flash. Niggas said, man, them niggas is over there selling weed right down the street. And we rode over there, one tape. Niggas say, y'all want to buy this tape? A couple of niggas knew him, let us walk up on him. Y'all want to buy this tape? Nigga, what tape? What? Niggas, just listen to it. So homie opened up the car door, pop it in. He got the loud stereo. And we bumping it and shit. And then one of the niggas just slid in the front seat, hit eject, and was like, how much y'all want for it? $5. Then the other niggas like, nigga, I want one too. Like, nigga, we only got one. We be back tomorrow. We come back tomorrow. Bag full of tapes.
Right.
We got a bag full of tapes.
Right.
The niggas, look, I've been right where we was at, Royal Park. And niggas said, hey, the niggas on 84 say, y'all pull up on them too. We like, oh, shit. So we was just like living in the moment. But when the niggas on 84 said pull up, we like, nigga, let's go hit every turf where they sell dope.
Right.
And we start doing that. We just walked up on all the drug dealers. At first time, they be like, nigga, who's your niggas? Like, bro, check the music out. But then the word was spreading. So a nigga named Freddie Pratt, my rap partner name is Freddie B. So a nigga named Freddie Pratt, I feel like he was like a fan of Freddie B because Freddie P shit rhymes, I don't know. But he was like, man, I rap too. Y'all should come to my spot. So we pull up with Freddie Pratt. He take us to a dope house. And he got like way better equipment than us, but he can't really rap that good.
Right.
But it's like, we feel like we moving up a little bit in the world, you know what I'm saying? And the nigga who spotted was, he was like a real reputable town nigga. So we try to go to the boss man and say, hey, bro, you want to hear one of these tapes? He was like, man, I'm going to hear that fucking whack-ass rap shit. He said, fucking rap, I don't listen to, you know, OG niggas back then.
Nigga selling dope listening to Tower of Power, yeah. Right?
The nigga said, I wouldn't listen to no rap shit unless that shit was about me. But he was, like, really not focused on us. He just said it, walked off. Next day, nigga, we got a song about you. Nigga didn't say nothing. We didn't tell him that. We just said, hey, listen to this. So one day we walking down the street. I don't know if it was days later, weeks later. We just walking down. Dude who we gave the tape to, he was on like 94th, 96th, 92nd Sunnyside. We right down on 89th, a few blocks away. This nigga roll up hyper. Like, nigga, you the rap niggas? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, he said, my name is King D. He said, you niggas on my block right now. This is my block. And nigga said, if y'all don't give me one of them tapes, like y'all met that nigga, like y'all made that nigga, better not come around here no more. Next day, bam. Tape all about his ass. Nigga.
Right.
All the kingpins started coming to get us. They were sending niggas, like boss niggas in the town. They like bringing rap niggas to me.
Niggas was a messenger service.
Hey, bring it, nigga. Hey, that nigga was like, bring them rap niggas to me. Bring them rap niggas to me. Hey, but look, we walk down the street, nigga like, hey, man, Big Eyes want to holler at you. Get in the car. We like, what? Nigga take us way to some hood. I want one of them tapes, bro. We start making it for all the kingpins.
Well, see, you said something that was interesting. You said that back then wasn't nothing but Run DMC and Grandmaster Flash and all that.
Wasn't a lot of rappers. All shit was coming from New York.
With y'all making the music y'all made, did y'all ever get any pressure to try to sound like what was popular?
See, me and Freddie B, we wouldn't do that. We was really on some, like, local shit. We was whatever the fuck the slang was, whoever was doing, acting. We was, like, fucking telling you the streets in the songs. And, little ass East Oakland, like, nigga, that shit was, it was ours. You know what I'm saying? And then, on top of that, we used to DJ the fucking hood parties that nobody would,
Right, nigga, nobody going over there.
Yeah, niggas wouldn't do that, so we was doing that. We started doing a little rapping in front of the crowd shit. All that shit worked. So fast forward to starting my own label, Freaky Tales. Nigga had all that experience, bro. All them, they talk about them 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
Put your 10,000 hours in, you an expert. Nigga, I put them 10,000 in. So when I got the Born to Mac and all that shit, nigga, I was already a fucking seasoned.
Hey, man, the way you put it together when Buddy said, I'm only going to listen to rap if it's about me, and that shit clicked with you and you figured out what to do, that shit so far ahead of the curve for, I don't know.
Yeah, we would have been dope ass rappers, but when that little one thing happened, that we went from being dope rappers to niggas like, how you gotta fucking fight all the foot soldiers.
Right,
you gotta navigate the city. They was like, all the big niggas was like, hey, leave them niggas alone. Leave the rap niggas alone. We just walked through. You know them little niggas that be holding the hood down?
Right.
Yeah. You ain't getting nowhere to the house where boss at. We walked away, let the rap niggas through. So we worked that shit out. It was luck.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training, and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Speaking of freaky tales, man, what was the reaction when you, like, when you first let somebody hear it completed? Like, what was the reaction that you got? Do you remember what that was?
A lot of the songs y'all know was songs that we was making in the streets, and we kind of, like, remade them later in life. I was, like, bringing the lyrics back. Freaky Tales was a song about 16 hoes. And then
was it what they of the 75?
So
this is hoes, not bitches. This is hoes.
Not bitches is top 10.
The bitches is
hoes. Right
beneath. So I had a line in the song. I was like, I had 16 hoes sucking 10 toes, and people used to like giggle and shit at the line. So I was like, I'm gonna write a fucking song about them 16 hoes, and I wrote a song like how I met each one of the 16 hoes, and I called it Freaky Tales. And I was probably like, I was in high school. So later on, I did another version with 75 girls. But it was too long, so the version y'all heard.
Hey, so 14 minutes. This shit was a Parliament song.
We took all the corny shit out. Everything that was corny wasn't like the best of the best.
I'm on my 72nd beat.
I bet this nigga still fucking bitches.
The nigga went to sleep and woke up.
This nigga breathing the head on the
track. He still got bitches.
72. I'm on my 72nd beat.
You knew what she do.
The one that came out got about 40.
These hoes just like me.
That's crazy.
That's fucking amazing.
But it's all game, though, man. I was studying the pimp game, and I was interpreting it in the songs, and I was...
Yeah, I asked you who your top five Oakland pimps were.
I mean, the most famous Oakland pimps is the Ward Brothers. That's who they made the movie The Mac about.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you look in that movie, you'll see, like, anybody that's not an actor is an Oakland pimp. Like, they use the real pimps to make the movie and the real hoes. The Mac is a cold movie.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. No, it's great. Yeah,
you ain't no pimp.
Soundtrack even.
You was a rest haven for hoes.
A cop thief. I bet the one you got outside is high as a firecracker.
That's that shit.
Bear, go get the bitch. Hey, bitch.
that's my
you ready
shit.
To die, hey, nigga?
You ever notice when you see Pretty Tony in the new shit he be doing? You're like, nigga, that's Pretty Tony.
You never not see him as Pretty Tony, nigga.
Willie Dynamite was on Sesame Street for 30 years. Teaching what? Kids how to count.
Yep.
He was.
Willie Dynamite ran down the steps.
Willie Dynamite
you think
ran
you're so
himself.
Tough
Willie Dynamite
with your $100 coat and your $100. 30 black bitches working for you.
$100. My nigga Kenny Red just passed away.
Yeah, rest in peace, Kenny Red.
Kenny Red, I got the bitch.
She was always one of my favorites. When I was a little nigga, my hero was Gangsta Brown. And Gangsta Brown, he was my hero because out of all the way them pimps used to ride and just ride by you and shit, he would literally look over at you and like wave, give you a wave, what's up, little homie? But the nigga used to ride around a brown limousine with all the hoes in the back, and he be driving.
This nigga drove his own limousine.
So look, you know you pimping, right? You gotta roll the back windows down. So the little nigga, we see this nigga a limo full of hoes, they all his hoes. Nigga, I went to school with a nigga named Frank the Bank. Frank Smith, that nigga went to our school, and his hoe went to our school too.
What and the fuck?
His other hoe used to drop them off at school because she was older,
right?
And then she'd pick them up at the school, top down, pick them up, nigga.
But that's cold.
Well, how you tell Frank the Bank to turn his homework in? Hey, Frank the Bank, you do your assignment last night, like, bitch. Please.
We all up in there. Bitch, pass her my paper.
Miss Johnson, you can't sell pussy in the cafeteria. Tell that to Frank.
I thought he was gonna say Frank had a teacher selling pussy.
Yeah, he probably did.
He might have did, bro. But the nigga, we all be in our little jeans and Nikes or whatever. This nigga slacks and shoes. About 20 gold chains.
Right.
He got the fucking collar with the little gold hanging on the collar.
Did this nigga stay back? How old was this nigga? God damn.
Frank was a young nigga, long ass perm. He looked like the Mac the movie.
Right.
He was our age, shit. He was pimping in high school. Straight up. I think a little D came to school. He came to. This is the 80s, bro. This nigga came to school first day, 10th grader. He probably had hundreds of thousands of dollars, man. Probably millions, who knows?
And came to school.
This nigga came to school first day of school, 10th grade, with an army. This nigga had on, you know when you're in 12th grade, you get your ring?
Right.
This nigga had like 20 of them on a gold chain. As a 10th grader, first year of school, he came with class rings on a gold rope.
And then I beat graduated.
Like a little skinny rope, like nigga, yeah, he came in with an army, they beat up a couple people. They were like, see this little nigga? Nobody touches him.
Bro, I'm glad.
Nigga knew who he was.
Ain't no way in the world.
Every day at lunch, a whole 20 niggas that didn't go to our school showed up to be his like secret service.
At lunch?
Every day, nigga.
20 niggas just show up and be like,
all right. Yeah,
you got a problem with this nigga?
This nigga had a nigga, his job used to be to carry the big ass radio. He just hold the big radio with the 8 batteries. And they was them niggas, man.
Who the fuck would let these niggas into school?
This nigga like 10th grade.
You was going to tell them they couldn't come to school.
Yeah, he went to school every day. Graduated everything, but
went to school
you have to ask permission to say what's up to him. You gotta be like, this nigga 10th grade, you in 12th grade, you gotta say, hey man, is it cool if I say what's up to D? I swear to God, I'm not lying. Nigga was a little bitty high school kingpin.
That's
lit, y'all.
Hey, I ain't never heard no shit like this in my life.
But that's only at lunch, though, so in between class, you by yourself, motherfucker.
Hey, can you imagine you in a hurry, nigga, and you behind the pimp, and this nigga walking slow.
Hey, don't nobody pass Lil D.
Don't nobody
pass Lil D.
Hey, nobody gonna pass.
Hey, you gonna have to wait.
For real.
Hey. I'm gonna be late. That's kind of how it was.
Nigga. That's the teacher, though. Fuck you, man.
That's crazy.
I done seen the punishment, too. They were like, yo, D, what up? And one of the homies just bing you a little bit like, bruh, you didn't get authorized to say that.
Bill?
What?
This Bill? Nigga was a diplomat in high school.
Say what's up. Say what's up.
I'm not. I won't say what's up. Say what's
I don't
up.
Speak to nobody anymore.
Hell nah.
Hell nah. No problem, no
man, you saw what happened? And you spoke to look.
I better ask. I seen it.
They had to move that nigga back to 8th grade.
You know I'm telling the truth, right? You know I'm telling the truth.
That's crazy.
You ain't ready to go to school with the big kids.
What's up, DC? You allow him to say that to me?
Right.
Can we go back to Memphis, man?
All the way.
We were on Memphis right before we started.
Yeah, we were.
We love
I don't
want
to not forget to talk about Memphis.
No, yeah. You said that we borrowed the style.
No, we was talking about some crunk shit and some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I said,
right? I said, motherfuckers don't ever say that when crunk was being invented.
Right.
You from the cradle, I was right there in the sessions. I was here in Atlanta. I was on the songs. I was there.
Right.
And I went on to say, I know that where it came from. It came from Memphis.
Right.
I said, ATL bought it and made it bigger and better.
Right.
And blew that shit up. And then when the Bankhead Bounce came at 94,
right,
it was a wrap. That was it.
So explain it, because I'm a 92 baby. I remember the Bankhead, but like that was a prominent dance for us for like 18 years.
Them
you
shoulders.
Couldn't do the
them shoulders, didn't you?
It was a few different songs.
What's up?
What's up? What's up with the Bankhead Bounce?
Bring it back.
Every side
back
up. Every side of town, they was having a Bankhead Bounce contest.
This is my Bankhead, this is my thumb. Bankhead Bounce, Donkey Kong.
Hey.
What is that?
Yeah.
This is my Bankhead, this is my thumb. Bankhead Bounce, Donkey Kong.
The nigga from Ying Yang Twins wrote the Bankhead Bounce song.
Which one? Because you know
the tongue. Which one?
Was he from Bankhead?
D-Rock, yeah, he wrote that song.
But see,
that's,
but yeah. really, I remember it being more like when the Outkast album came out, the first one, and then the Goody Mob album followed it.
Right.
That was the essence of ATL.
We like, started getting the sound.
Stepping up and going, nigga, we Atlanta, nigga. Like, it was no more turning back from there.
Yeah. Man, speaking of, like, I heard a song that I had never heard in Atlanta, and it's the crazy thing is I thought about you when I heard the song just because of the context that I met this girl in Atlanta.
Let me love in your mouth. Kilo.
Right.
And like, Big Boy.
Do you, when you hit, do you know what song that is?
Kilo's one of the first stars out here.
Kilo, so that's I'm Kilo. Saying,
being around during that time, like, do you take it like, you know what I mean, I'm that big of an influence? Do you see your influence in them type of songs?
I mean, I was trying to be a part of it, man. I was there. I used to be on fucking Old National Highway at Shooter's Pool Hall when they fucking put on the MJG and 8-Ball album coming out hard and let the whole album play.
What the fuck?
They let the whole album play. Hoes dancing, niggas shooting pool, niggas drinking. Just let it play. Like, for real. So, I mean, nigga, I can tell you Atlanta history, nigga.
Come on, man. We're here for it, bro.
I go back like Playboy Palace.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Fucking Nicky's on Stewart before they changed the name down the street from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the shit.
So what made you? What
that
made
was
you,
a stroll.
What the $5 table dance made me do it. The $5 table
that's
dance.
That's what made you, like, you heard about that at Oakland. Was like, nigga was like, hey, nigga.
Let's think about the $5 table dance.
Right.
Come on. You got Magic City.
Right.
Come on. $10 a table dance.
Come on.
You got the Gold Club up there talking about 10 and 20 and all that shit. And ain't nobody going there. Come Every on. Other club, $5. Bust it open. $5.
Full song, my boy.
That shit made me choke.
You get one song.
Full song.
Keep it up, keep it up, don't stop. Ain't nothing but a tabletop.
Full song.
Keep it up, don't stop.
You come in that bitch $20. You just a regular nigga. You come in that bitch $20, you get you one drink, bust open four records and leave. Like, nigga, you go on.
Well, Kilo had
now, I did get the experience of $5 table dances in Atlanta. I can't say that.
I've
been here that long. Yeah.
Man, that shit was amazing, though.
What's
like, oh, man, this nigga.
What?
Boy, that's all we did what, after
no
every show.
And tables what? And
we brought one country ass homeboy, but he and this motherfucker ran up $300 worth of $5 dances. Talking about,
he was feeling me. Boy, get your stupid
ass. $300
I said, how many dances?
How many dances you gonna get? He said,
I knew the shit wasn't gonna end well when that nigga came back and like, man, I think this is like me. I was like,
what? See, it worked.
She ran up the tab with stupid ass.
Me and this nigga sitting there watching. He locking eyes. Hell, this nigga.
Locking eyes with her.
The nigga said,
I don't know, man. She vibing.
I said, no.
Y'all sitting in there and she walk out and she hand the money to Frank the Bank. You be like, God damn, what the fuck is this?
No, but see, no bullshit.
They
worked the deal.
But it wasn't like there was a low budget.
She was
though.
Known
that was the
for
norm.
That. Right.
It was like, I'll show you the pictures, nigga.
Please.
You got fucking,
oh, they was bad.
All the clubs had cameramen.
Mm-hmm.
So the cameraman, you like the way she danced, like the way she looked?
Right.
You like, cameraman, let me get a picture with her. Bust it open. $5 for the picture. It's you and the girl you've been blacking all night, butt-ass naked.
Facts.
Bro, if I was there, I would have that shit blown up
you can
in my
say,
house. Like,
you can say, bust it open like that.
Right.
Bend it over, bust it open. You can say, let me hold it in the picture, and you up.
That's why I love the flame.
So in saying that,
$100 gets you 20 dances, my
boy. I got pictures, let me hold it. Let me just take it. I got a
How you doing? How you smile?
I got a picture of Magic City. Four naked ones on this side, four naked ones on that side. Nigga. Man. Legendary, man.
Tell them about Freaknik for the people that didn't go, because you said you hurt, and I feel like you had to have an influence on Freaknik.
All the shit he was doing at Freaknik probably we could air it.
So 92,
porno, right?
92, we get a phone call after the shit already happened. We get the word like, man, this thing happened in Atlanta. It's called the Freak Niggas, you know? Because we got Oakland niggas that's out here going to school.
Right.
We got a couple niggas that...
Hella education, my nigga.
Come on, man.
Hella been hella studying. Nigga out here doing hella class, nigga. I'm on the honor roll, town business. Hella good.
We got niggas at Mo Brown, Clark, and
the whole AUZ.
And what's the
Morehouse.
Yeah, we got little homies at all of them. So we get the word, it's a cool party. Piedmont Park, Freaknik. Big ass picnic, big ass park. We come back from 93. The shit, I guess a lot of people told the people where they was from.
Right.
And the shit spilled out the park onto the streets. Nigga, that's probably the first time I just seen like just disrespectful Daisy Dukes just hanging out the roof, hanging out the drop top, they hanging out the window, they on the corner. It went good for 2 years. You see the little brawls, they do a little show for you, kick it, ass chicks hanging out. We don't got nothing like that on the West Coast at the time. Ain't no ass chicks hanging out of jean shorts.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't exist.
Hold on, we gotta have a moment as black men. Can you imagine as a black man the first time
you see some ass hanging?
But the first time it happened in black man history, like what the fuck?
But you know
what?
Daisy Dukes, right, for the white girl.
Yeah.
So she always wore the shorts.
But her ass, she ain't had no ass.
But that was a downside thing. The jean short, cut them all, ass hanging out, big old. You know what I miss? I miss when you see a big old ass and you knew it was a big old ass.
They don't know what the fuck it might be now.
Make one.
Right.
So
right.
You didn't have the big old ass.
That was ass.
I miss that shit, man.
Yeah.
That shit.
You hit that motherfucker. That shit feel like.
I know some girls right now with big old asses from their grandmama, and they be like, these bitches done fucked up the game.
Yeah.
Because they getting sweaty for they big old natural ass.
Right.
And they like, oh, your fake booty. Like, no, I think that's grandma hand me down.
No, when you see a real ass, it's a thing to see.
You should know a real ass.
You stay right there. You know a hand, but big ass.
Maybe you ain't seen enough ass.
No, we've seen a lot of ass. Ever since the young age,
even if you know what I'm saying, it's still diluted.
Yeah, right.
The reality of it is
you still don't know. You get that good doctor. That
them legs hit you wrong, though.
Doctor take your shoulder and put right in your ass.
Ass, legs, calves. You got to get.
So Freaknik 93 was the one that fucking just, it was legendary.
Right.
And then luckily, it was 94 was magical. Because even like, we went to 93, we was like, dude, when y'all get back home, like 8 of us went, don't tell not a narrow Oakland nigga about this shit.
Not a narrow nigga.
Nothing.
We got to be the only one.
Niggas told.
Told everybody.
How you not going to tell, nigga? I'm sorry, I can't.
Y'all was showing videotape.
Bitches ass is hanging out these shorts now.
Man, stop playing.
I swear to God, I went down there, bro. I seen 5 big asses hanging out the bottom of some shorts.
Man, get this nigga.
I swear to God, I'm going to let that on my damn grave. Please, bro. We got to go to Atlanta. All right, you can't hold that.
Listen, my brother, when I'm telling you, they down there.
Well.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
Ass everywhere.
They got on just enough shorts.
Just enough?
Just enough.
Pussy hanging out the side.
Oh, you ain't say that first.
You
time.
Said pussy but hanging out the side. Now, see, this another
that
moment.
It's
another moment in black history. Pussies don't even hang out the side no more. These pussies directly in the middle.
They live for
us. These pussies fit perfectly in a pair of pants. Ain't no extra meat hanging out.
That's how you know that
global warming is real.
Happy trail right there.
Let's keep going right there. That's what
you said. But they were acting too because they jumping on top of cars.
So look what happened though. So
they back doing that. They twerking on headlights though.
94 niggas from everywhere. Chicago niggas, Detroit niggas, everybody called everybody. Miami niggas coming up, everybody. New York niggas, they all out here looking at the thing. And it went off good. The girls was doing the twerk. It was still going, you know, bam, take a picture. You know, you get the camera or something. Not a camera phone, but you, like, have a real camera.
Yeah.
Big-ass
camcorder,
big-ass camcorder with the VHS in it.
Facts.
You like that, hitting it. She hitting it for you. Keep it moving. Cool. I don't know what happened after that. I don't know if y'all heard about Freaknik 95 and 96. Nigga, Freaknik 95, his first day. I think I was somewhere like the underground. We work at Peachtree, walking around. Right. Nigga, these niggas see like a cute girl. A whole mushroom and niggas run over to her. She come out running butt-ass naked.
Well, damn,
niggas,
we didn't.
They pulling, they grabbing, they like trying to grab. Like, nigga, Freaknik 96 was all dudes. No females came back.
Nah, that wasn't Freaknik.
Yeah,
that
was, cause y'all done called the web motherfuckers.
That was Picnic. Right,
it was a female, but it wasn't the same.
96 was over. They didn't even try to have a 97. It was so bad.
Yeah, that was Dicknik. That wasn't no Freaknik.
Every picture they was taking, crazy. They was grabbing ass. I saw why women.
They got too fucking horny. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't just stand back and enjoy the beauty of what they was presenting.
See, right. That's why you ain't want niggas to tell nobody, because you knew the word was going to get out.
They weren't keeping it playing.
It was 1995. And 96.
Yep, all
you
need
from you
that.
Bitch, yeah.
They could have kept going to this day if niggas wasn't too fucking
we still can do a Freaknik now. We can revamp it.
No, well, you can't.
Just can't tell
it ain't never going to be like
nobody.
That.
There
can't tell nobody.
It ain't never going to be like
and
that,
that's,
though.
That led into my next question. Like, them times back then, like, you didn't transition through times, nigga. It's amazing that you can still be you and don't have to change who you are as the culture has changed to where everybody's so offended by shit. What do you think separates you from having to deal with the type of shit that people think is offensive now?
Well, I wasn't just being, like, disrespectful in my song. I was like, you a bad bitch, not like you a punk bitch. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I was complimenting.
These were positive bitches.
I'm talking down to these bitches. So, you're a beautiful bitch.
I'm just saying, the way the shit evolved, man, I kind of put myself in a position where, if you notice, listen to the old Too Short songs, listen to the new Too Short song. When I walked in, y'all was playing like, I ain't gonna do it. They all got a little bit of humor in it. So if you're gonna sit here and like kind of like say something about the bitch, at least make her smile.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying?
At least.
The logic. Do you get this shit?
If you're gonna talk about the bitch, at least talk about her in a positive manner.
Right. Now listen, I always deflect. Viewers too. Look. At this segment right now, we are not talking to you specifically. Don't be in them comments.
Don't try to
responding to the shit that we saying. This is not directed to you. This is about
her.
The bitch.
This is about her. This is about the bitch. So that's what I say. I always deflect.
Right.
So I say, listen to the way I write the song. I'm like, she did this shit. She's the bitch. I never say you a bitch to the girls. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I always give the females the option to rap along with me.
And you know their first defense is going to be like, who hurt you?
Them niggas that fucked that freak nigga 96 and 95 and 96.
They always want to know who hurt us.
It's the culture. Man. The pimpin' hurt me.
This
it was the pimpin'.
When they told me the rules, and I was like, wow. Those are the rules.
Yeah, that's a hell of a standard to have to follow. It really is.
Those are the rules?
Yeah, I like the pimping rules, so I was like, I think I'm going to go with this shit.
Yeah,
I'm going to stick with this. Treat me like a pimp.
Man.
Even if I ain't got no hoes, treat me like a pimp.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
That's the coldest like shit in the world right now. Listen, even if I ain't got no hoes, treat me like a pimp. Don't do me like that.
We're going to put that in the Bible of
Too Short quotes.
What? I'm saying, like, that's what it is. It's like, I don't care what you do in life, if you walk in there with that attitude, females are allowed to think like that, too. Treat me like a motherfucking pimp.
Even if I ain't got no
I get my fingernails done all day. I count money. Bitches roll my weed for me. Yeah. You feel me? Yeah. I don't do shit. Kick back. If I walk in the room and you disrespect me, I ain't fucking with you. If I walk in the room and you ain't got my money, I ain't fucking with you.
Shit, hell yeah, nigga.
That's it.
That's the one right there.
You just cut it off.
I still want my pimp money, shit. But I ain't fucking with you still.
Pimp shit.
Treat me like a pimp, even though
I ain't got no home.
I ain't got no home.
I'm sorry.
I got business.
Man, you might have just changed my whole thought process. I don't know.
I'm finna go home and get cussed the fuck out.
You going home with the pimp?
Hey! Bitch, why I ain't rolled up? Roll my weed.
Don't get beat the fuck up, man. Don't come back with no black eyes.
Right. Two's gonna have you fucked up. Hey, get off me! Then she starts swinging. I don't know what. Oh, I ducked the first two.
Y'all know how to choose the feet, right?
Of course.
Yeah, the choosing fee is like that's rule number one.
So I'm telling you, I don't know no rule because I think I don't know what guideline I'm going by.
Before you allow her in your life, you got to put a number on it. she has to pay to get in your life. Mm-hmm. So if your number is $5,000, $10,000, or higher, you
that
like.
The D-Hood had a discount. They had coupons. Take our receipt. Thank you. We'll see what you. Ooh, where you getting this from? It's from Kohl's.
There's a Groupon.
These Kohl's bucks. Ooh, save a lot. Ooh, I like
Reason
save a lot.
Came up and handed flat that long CVS.
Bitch, where you get it? Get it all.
Get 30% off soap.
That's hilarious.
So hold on, the choosing price, that's what you got. Okay.
The choosing fee.
Choosing fee.
It's not a price.
Price. It's not a price. It's a fee.
So a bit like
you got to be paid.
I'm like, okay, you like me, baby. There's a fee if you like me. let me put a number on it. What about $150?
Selling yourself short.
What if she ain't got it? Okay. You ain't got that either. Yeah. I take a 20.
You can't keep going down.
Hey, but look at this though. Look at this.
I'm choosing fee 10.
I'm gonna tell you some truthful shit.
All right.
Just try it. Just try it one day. A little chick gonna be flirting with you, whatever.
Right. Choosing fee.
Just try it. Just say. Shawty, I really would want to fuck with you, but you got to, like, give me at least $1,000 to make me look your way. Just try.
Hey, oh, man. You going to have to give famous. Me your number before I try that shit.
Hold up.
Because I got to have your direct contact. Hey, just hold up. Wait a second. Wait, stop real quick.
You know
hey, what? Sure, real quick. She ain't going for it. Nigga, what I'm supposed to say next?
That's the worst thing she can say is no.
I mean, you're right.
That's the worst thing gonna happen. She gonna say hell no. Yeah. How many times in a day do a chick tell a nigga hit that Cash App, nigga?
Yeah.
Reverse it. See what happens.
Yeah.
Cause they definitely do it. That's why I be like, where these bitches get the game from? From us. No wonder they got the game from us.
Reverse the shit, see what happens. It works. It really works.
You.
So the bitch asked me, I want a purse. I'm like, I want some socks.
She coming in.
You're selling yourself short. You're selling yourself short.
Bitch, I want some socks.
You gotta go crazy.
I want expensive socks.
He said
Louis Vuitton socks, bitch. You thought I wore the Hanes? I want $2,000 worth of socks.
You gotta give her some motivation,
but
bro.
But see, that's okay. The thing. Let me ask you this, though.
Hey, what that type of game, what they call it, get it off my shopping list.
Do you have to be in a certain position as a man to be able to have that work for you? Because you can say like, it'll work, but nigga, you
feel
too
like
short.
I'm gonna say this to the camera, niggas that know it. Nigga, you should be able to pimp from zero. You should be able to come up from zero. From zero, nigga. Like, you must, it's the gift of gab is what was... You should be able to come up from nothing. You should look in the mirror and go, nigga, we gonna get it today.
Come on. Right,
so the niggas that don't got to give the gab, give them some places that they can go to get it from. Give them a few places for the niggas that don't have the ability to be able to.
You can't give it to them. If you feel like you ain't got no game, I would highly recommend probably listening to Too Short album 1 through 20.
There you go.
And can you tell them
that? That shit like it's a fucking, like,
buy you some.
Now, education.
For the low educated motherfucker, pimping ain't always about having a bitch selling some pussy. It's always about finesse.
It's the game.
It's a finesse. It's a game.
It's the game.
See, that's what you see. Now you enlightening motherfuckers.
Right. Because you got motherfuckers in there like, oh, they talking about selling pussy.
Nah, this ain't got nothing to do with
it.
Vagina
shit.
Trying to get
$1,000
for socks.
No.
Hey. This nigga
stupid.
I'm gonna go home. Listen, bitch. I need $1,000 to breathe.
You know what niggas ain't realized lately?
You gonna let me down?
These hoes is pimping.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
They are running it loud and clear. And I'm like, these niggas don't see what's going on.
But yeah, that's where the game comes from.
Nigga, on day one when I meet you, clocking in. And niggas is doing it.
You get the game, and that's where the game coming. Like, I was always told that, you know, the ones that really are successful in the game are the ones that get it from.
This nigga's stupid, man. He said he needed $1,000 to breathe.
Don't let it be gonna let me die.
I ain't breathing until you put it in my head.
Dead.
You heard it before, though, man. She said, DC, you hella funny. You hella funny. I just want to fuck with you. You like, my life is complicated right now. It's gonna probably take $5,000-$10,000 to uncomplicate it.
Fact. Bitch, I need $2,000 worth of socks. Right now. Bitch, you wanna tell me you I can't breathe. Give me $5,000, I breathe.
Expensive socks.
And you gotta be barefoot when you do it. Look, bitch, I need socks right now. Put your toes on.
That's crazy. I tried to pimp one time.
What did
really
you
did.
Do?
It didn't work.
Did you do what you said?
It's real talk.
No, it looked like I was a beggar. I was like, you got something for me because I need it back.
I got a homie that he pull up in the Benz, take her to his nice house,
right.
Spend a little dough on her, then he double back on her and say, man, I'm in this fucking business situation. I'm about the greatest deal in the world. I'm about 10 G's short. He done showed her all the money he got and everything. She like, I got you. This was his job. If she didn't go for it, it was Labor Day last date. Then he meet a new one. Cause he sizing you up like you look like you got a little paper, chick, the female. He's just like, he show her the money first. Spend a little bit, then he's like, damn, I got the situation. I'm about 10 to show. Yeah, you know, you fucking with grown ass women with a little savings, she like going to get it. Yeah. I'll help you. You done knocked it down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Knock it down, you know. He knocked it down.
You already know.
He done fucking like showed her, like, you ain't no broke nigga. Your house fly as fuck car.
But what if he went through like six girls and they really didn't have it, but he spent
no,
like,
it's
he
not short for real.
No, it's not.
You done spent two, nigga. You been spent. Like, man, I'm fucked up for real.
Damn.
No, it's not a problem.
Like, no,
it's not a problem. So, no, it's not a problem.
Man, you ever had a, like, you ever been in a relationship or had a girlfriend or anything like that?
Hell yeah.
I mean, but, you know what I'm saying? With that mentality, do they have to accept or treat you like a pimp even when you ain't got no hoes?
So, I said treat me like a pimp. I didn't say I was a pimp. I never even, this shit paid me way better than anything I could do trying to pimp hoes. And then, as you know, in hip-hop right now, I was kind of like ahead of my curve back in the day. I'm like, well, shit, if I rap about pimping and then I start pimping, I'm going to jail, nigga.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm not going to rap about some criminal shit and then do the crime. So I basically...
reverse psychology.
Even the pimps, all the pimps that know that I represent the game and all the pimps that fucking me, they know what I was doing. They like, nigga, you repping the game. Yeah. You making the kind of music that we like to ride to. My one homie, he used to, it was a reward for his hoes. If she would hoe up enough, he had many hoes. If she would hoe up enough, bitch, you get to meet Too Short. That nigga called me, he's like,
one time
he said, bitch, there you go.
Dang.
That,
what's
my favorite word? Like, how you doing, girl? I heard you was a superstar. Keep getting that shit, girl.
What? Time 10.
Oh, come man, went even harder.
That's better than let Bruce hit it. Yeah,
more effective, too.
Bitch, you hoe up, you get to meet Too Short.
Get to meet Too Short.
Right.
I did that for my homie.
But you saying that, like, what does authenticity mean to you in this game, like in the rap game? What is that? Because you just said, nigga.
I got a problem with authenticity right now these days, because it got too real.
Mm. Yeah.
It got too fucking real. It's like, you wanted to paint a picture that felt real and looked real in the video, whatever. You wanted to paint a picture.
Yeah, they paint a picture now, a crime scene.
You didn't really want to say.
A compository sketch.
Take niggas like Jay-Z and E-40, right, and a few other niggas. They perfectly talk about retro slanging cocaine. In a non-incriminating way.
Yeah,
right.
In the 80s, in 30 years ago.
I sold so much dope, not I sell so much dope.
Right.
And they did the shit. You know, thinking, I'm not about to incriminate myself. Rap got hella real, man. So I'm like, authenticity was a thing. But I think it's a bad thing now.
It's
too real.
I think that because when you started, the rap game was a representation of the streets.
Right.
And now it's kind of reversed where the streets is rap. You know what I mean?
It turned into it.
It turned into the reverse. So, and speaking of that, like, you've been around for a long time. I personally have a theory where I think the streets was way worse in the 80s and the 90s. But I believe now that we got the fact that we can see all of the crime happening and it's so readily available.
It just seems like it's worse. Numbers are not as high.
So do you believe that it was, you know, you hear people say now all the time that being a rapper is the most dangerous job in the world. And, you know, rest in peace to the brother PNB Rock. But do you believe being as a rapper as long as you have that it truly is the most dangerous job in the world?
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic. And at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
I think that is if we get, we're about to get into the energy shit now, because I think the energy is real. And you sit there, you could go back and look at rappers like Spice One, who went and found his way in the world and did shit. But in the early days of his career, a lot of people wanted to like fuck with him and fight him, because he was like, I'm a killer. I'm like, you know what I mean? He had to like go through some trials and tribulations on getting past saying, I'm the toughest nigga out here. Right. Take a nigga like DJ Quick right now. Niggas been blooded up forever, right? Nigga blood this, red out, red rag, it's all in, it's commercialized, it's everywhere. But when DJ Quick first started making records, he said, I'm a blood from Compton. It was a whole lot of Crip niggas in LA and around the country that was kind of like a little bit more out there. And the blood shit was like, bloods used to stick together, the numbers was lower. And it was like, they wasn't really like flaunting that shit like that. It was some real shit, but they wasn't really going. You know, in the rap song, yeah, I'm a blood, this and that. And DJ Quick did it, caught a lot of flack. Like, he had to go through a lot of shit to blaze that trail. But now, you know what I'm saying? Niggas is like, I'm from this specifics. I'm from this hood, These are my enemies.
Right.
On a daily basis, we try to kill these niggas. And then when they do kill a nigga, they be like, yeah,
smoke
we got so and so.
Like,
nigga,
right? Yeah, they
like,
smoking
nigga,
on.
What did you do?
On that pack?
Yeah,
nah, you flaming them up. You fucking like fanning the flames and fucking like telling on yourself. Like it's just got too fucking real. And I think that the reason why I got a problem with it is because the rap fans started saying, I ain't finna support you if I find out you're not the real deal. So then niggas who really wouldn't have been rappers in my day, because they was too real for it, they the rappers now. Like the nigga who's the prolific writer with the insight, the little, you know, the
niggas
little artistic.
Making you make right. The tapes
the little artistic nigga in the hood, he can't even get in now because he ain't got no goddamn thug track record. Yeah.
Right.
They won't let him in.
Yeah, right. You said the difference back then, they was pulling up on you, making you make tapes about them.
Right. Yeah.
Nowadays, nigga like, fuck it, where the studio at? I'm gonna make a song about me.
Right. Yeah, my homeboy is like, yeah, nigga, make a song, nigga, about a little nigga who was sixth grade selling cigarettes. Nigga had to shoot thick.
Right. I'm like, I was in the sixth grade selling cigarettes.
Yeah, now that nigga is the rapper.
Facts.
That nigga the rapper.
Yeah, that's
shit changed,
man. Yeah, it did. But I mean, you know, as a hip hop fan, and we all are, like, we love the music. Like, I remember being young and thinking that Master P really was Master P, nigga, the ice cream man, because you don't have nothing to differentiate, because it's the narration of the environment that you come from.
You mean you thought he was selling coke?
He painted the picture so well.
Getting out of ice cream
truck. Out of ice cream truck.
I'm telling you what need to happen. White. This would need to happen right now, man.
Man, for real.
This would need to happen right now.
Right.
Right the fuck now. These little niggas, these young niggas is getting all this fucking money, need to look up and realize the main nigga is the bag nigga. You have a bag nigga. He's like the leader of your crew. He's the one who generates the income. We all eating off what he doing.
Right.
We got to protect this nigga to all ends like he's motherfucking Barack Obama. This nigga needs a little D security detail.
Yeah. Right?
Like my little homie that went to high school would fucking, you need to watch these niggas like that from now on. Like, nigga, you finna go where? Nah, nigga, you ain't going there. We finna send the three homies with the things with you. Like, we gotta do that forever.
Right.
I call it protect the bag.
Right.
We're not protecting the bag if you let. Okay, we all niggas, right?
Right.
He our star. We about to get in the fight. He can't fight with us.
Right.
Like, niggas, two niggas with the thing, take him back.
Boy, you gotta bail us out.
Right.
You gotta come get us.
Yeah, we need him to keep the goddamn job. Like, niggas, somebody really gotta take the fucking fall for the money man. You gotta do it, man. You like, nigga, I'm finna go shoot this nigga for you. Get caught or not. You ain't gonna never have to worry about that.
Right.
And then you gonna make sure that nigga
straight.
Yeah, and that's how it's supposed to go.
But the young niggas ain't trained like that.
I'm telling them right now, protect the bag, nigga. Like, treat this nigga like he's the president. If he's the nigga that's bringing the money to your neighborhood, to your block, to your crew, protect that nigga, man. Even if he want to come run to the fight, he want to be in it, he want to stay, nigga, take his gun, stop him. You don't got to fight no more, nigga. You are a star.
Mm-hmm. But see, that was, I would think that was easier to do back
then. We gotta go back to it.
We gotta go back to it.
I'm saying, the statistics are showing.
But it's so difficult to do that when everybody got the ability to show what they doing 24/7.
Because like you said,
if you the bag, right, let's say it's 1985 and that mentality, it's easy for us to run that mentality. But when everybody got somebody, hey man, you ain't got no chain, you ain't got this, in your comments every time you post a picture, it do something to make you want to be the president now.
No, that just
You the real thug in the crew. You the nigga that do the most of the heavy work for the crew.
Right.
You gotta override that nigga and his new thinking. The guy like, nigga, no. You can't go nowhere no more by yourself. You can't. My niggas just told me that. They say, OG, we gotta stop you from floating around the way you floating around, because this shit getting crazy out here. And I'm like, damn, I've been floating like this for a long time. They're like, nah, it's just different. Like, they looking like, damn, is this nigga, we clipped the bag. Even though you the OG, we still can't clip the bag. We gotta keep the bag, man. Protect the fucking bag, bro.
And also, even like,
the main nigga might not understand it. That's why you the hardest nigga in the crew. Protect this nigga, man.
Right.
Like, even he don't even want you to do it. Do it anyway.
Right.
Your nigga ain't tough as you. Tell a nigga, go home. You can't come out. We gonna go get your food and bring it back. Like, fuck that. This shit is too hot, man. Right. They shoot R&B niggas, man.
Right.
They shot Lil TJ.
Real shit.
Nigga. That nigga got one of my favorite songs, bro. I was hella mad when they shot Lil. I don't even know the nigga. I was hella mad.
But that shit be crazy.
It's hella weird,
And niggas got to understand, we got to stop letting senseless niggas be able to approach certain people. You see what I'm saying?
The little D rules.
Right. Nah, tell me, bro. You just said, what's up? Gotta ask to say what's up. You can't walk on a motherfucking president. Nigga, you see the White House every day, but you ain't walking on this grass.
They'll walk up with you with their phone out.
Yeah,
before they said anything to you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a difference in being a celebrity now versus being a celebrity when you came out. Now, that's another question for you. Do you think that it's, do you enjoy being a celebrity back then when fame was what it was when you first hit versus now when you have all the access?
Everything on planet Earth was better before social media, nigga. Everything was better. Yeah. Everything. Only thing wasn't better was all the platforms and getting all that money. But, oh, my God, life? Life? You could live a night and that night stay there? Man. Nigga, nobody captured the image of that night?
Right.
Come on. Oh, my God. Can you imagine living that life?
I always say that I felt like I would have been famous in the 80s.
Bruh, that night that you live, nobody got one picture. Nobody even had a goddamn camera.
It's word of mouth. Right. Nigga.
Unless you was in Magic City, bruh, where Four Naked was this way and Four Naked was
niggas
that way.
Niggas didn't even want autographs because nobody had a fucking pencil on them or a pen.
Right.
It was cool.
Right.
Like, they see like, you like a motherfucker. They
so let me get a picture. Like, all niggas should get back then was
on what?
My nigga, I fuck with you. I fuck with your shit, nigga. I fuck with you. Like, nigga, give a nigga a moment. That was
it. That's all a nigga needed.
Do y'all remember, y'all old enough for this? Do y'all remember when a nigga could not ask another nigga for a picture? Like, dare take a selfie with two niggas?
What? Selfie just got okay this year. Yeah. A selfie, a nigga be like, nah.
Nigga, a selfie?
I couldn't imagine a nigga taking a selfie with, the back then, nigga pull out the Polaroid.
Rap.
Five, flat, got to rewind it back. Nah, that was a different time.
You ain't gonna get all the pictures, they from here down.
Nigga, ain't nobody.
Fuck!
Nah, back then, way more structure. Nah, we lost a lot of structure with the fucking internet shit.
I don't know who the fuck people be trying to impress. They just, I don't know what the fuck they think they gonna post. And then people
ain't
just
supposed
gonna
be talking.
Magically show up and be like, wow.
Yeah, motherfucker talking out of turn now.
You know who did it? It was DJ Khaled and Snapchat.
Oh,
when he took that fucking, was it Snapchat? When he took that fucking camera and showed everybody where he was at?
Yeah.
That drove everybody crazy.
They love this shit.
Everybody wanted to show you where they was at after that.
I mean, it's deeper than that. Niggas showing you what they ate today, what color they shoestrings is, and everything. Like, it's just, it's like if you don't show it on social media, it never happened. Versus when you was coming up with, nigga, if you showed it, it didn't happen.
Nah,
if
you showed it, was sharing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you gotta be like, I don't know who the fuck that is in that picture.
That shit went from sharing to oversharing.
But on the positive side, the funny shit is winning. I stay in tune with social media platforms, and the funny shit is outnumbering all the other goofy shit, standing by cars that ain't yours and fucking lying about your day. That shit kind of like moving to the side for the fun. The funny shit is winning.
Yeah.
Everybody like, niggas who ain't even funny, like woke up like, nigga, I'm about to start feeling funny. Even though they ain't funny, they still try it.
Yeah, you can edit that shit down on the internet.
But I really think social media is taking care of itself by being funny.
Right.
And the informative shit is dope. Like, the dope part's about it. The fake shit, you know what I'm saying? I feel bad for all the chicks who fuck their body up for social media.
Right.
Like, I feel really bad. Like, I wish they wouldn't have did that. Like, you want to take a picture and get a million followers? Right. You call yourself an influencer?
That's what she said. Right. We had one girl, she said, I want to be an influencer. And we was like, oh, shit, that became a goal now. You want to influence people to do what?
You do what,
She had no idea.
She had no idea. We were like, what you influencing?
And that natural beauty is a winner.
Right?
Yeah, it's always
a winner. Natural beauty is a winner, ladies. Come on, clap for that one.
Come on. You got that point. You already fine. We tried to tell them.
Ladies in the house like, thank you.
You're already fine. You ain't got to do none of that shit.
You beautiful, baby.
So I like the turn it's taking now with the, you know, the creative shit, all the new little edits and shit. And, you know, making people be a little more creative. I like that.
They said, you come from the time of the video vixen. That don't exist no more. It's all Instagram models now. But you was back in the time when they were the video vixens.
Smooth magazine.
Smooth magazine and all that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you come from out that era. So,
even the motherfucker.
Yeah, you come from out a different era. So, like, you done walked through so many different decades and eras in this game. Like, what's your favorite decade? I mean, what's your favorite era in hip-hop?
Told you, my years in Atlanta was very special. That would have been 93 to 08.
That was like, damn.
That was like, that was a good
time. That was a fool ass.
Yeah, you had a lot of fun at Freak Nick. You moved to Atlanta.
Right, and never went back.
That was a good run. 15 years.
15 water years run. Off the man.
93. Damn.
You saw a lot. You saw Atlanta go through a lot of shit in that time period.
The baby.
Man.
I remember when you go to Magic City and, you know, the baddest girl in there, they dancing and shit. You be like, what you doing later? And she be like, I don't know. Sure. I'm like, girl, smell that weed. She's like, nigga, I'm coming with you.
That was all it
took. Goodness gracious.
I tried that shit one day. She was like, nigga, I don't do nothing. $1,000, nigga.
Facts.
Oh, she hit you with your own shit.
I'm just saying. It started like 04, 04, 05. It was like, we used to get strippers, like, just to kind of video shoot, just to hang out.
Right.
I'm like a stripper, like, bitch, I'm about to go get some pizza.
Yeah.
And going to the house. Like, it was like, I just want to hang out with you, nigga.
Yeah.
05, 04.
Done.
I'm like,
I love how you got specific dates when the game got fucked up.
I'm like, I'm shooting a video. She like, and?
Dang.
I'm like, get like about 8 girls pull up on the video Saturday. They're like, we want fucking 2,000 each. Like, what?
Yeah.
They were dead ass serious.
So that's weed right here. What's wrong with you?
You said it was an evolution though, bro.
You said
it
was an
evolution. What the fuck? It was evolution, man. Let's not disrespect women. Chip drill, right. The credit card swipe down the ass.
Right.
Prices went up, bro. Everything went up. Don't bite your tongue. Don't be scared to say it. BMF?
That was that time.
Prices
yeah,
went
that's
up.
About to say. I was
them
just about to say
came
that.
In with garbage bags full of ones. Them bitches.
So pimping then was.
I was talking to a bitch that was my friend. Right. This is my friend. I know her. You know how you got your strip club friends.
Right.
We chopping it up. We laughing. I ain't buying no dance. You my homegirl.
Right.
And then them niggas walked in with them trash bags. I'm hollering at you later, show. No. I'm like, you ain't never got at me like that. Later, yeah. Nigga.
Yeah.
Money on the floor.
Them niggas invented Make It Rain.
Yeah. Right.
It wasn't even called Make It Rain for them.
What was it called?
Nothing.
Throwing money. Throwing money.
It was called DJ, Let Me Get 100 Ones. Can I get 100 Ones? Listen to the nigga song. What the nigga say in the song? I told the DJ, can I get another 100 Ones? Closing the club.
Yeah.
Nigga, 100 Ones was the shit. Hey, DJ, let me get 100 Ones. The DJ had the money.
Right.
Yeah.
The DJ had the fucking money. Come on, nigga.
Still do if you go to the flight.
The flame is special.
Me and Lowe's riding around. We had just came from doing something. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, bro, I'm hungry. Take me to Checkers real quick. He was like,
nah, we're
going to
the
motherfucking Checkers.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. That nigga said, we going to the flame. I was like, all right, whatever, nigga, bet. We go to the strip club. I'm like, nigga, you know I don't fuck with the strip club like that. He said, nigga, just come on. Nigga, by the time I got that food they brought out that kitchen, I was eating macaroni and cheese and baked chicken and collard greens, and you look up, it's bitches everywhere. I'm like, I don't think I ever want to leave here again. This is the most amazing shit I ever seen.
I went to the Blue
Flame
one night, nigga. It was a casket in the motherfucking parking lot. They were like, the nigga whoever's in the casket, he liked the flame so much, they just brought his body there to just hang out in the parking lot for the night.
Niggas is in that motherfucker like him.
That's
watch it, who's.
$5 I know who that man. Is, but I ain't gonna say it out of respect.
It might have happened one time, but I was there.
No, it ain't. It wasn't.
It's yeah, more than one time.
Nah, it's a tradition. Like nigga,
oh yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Niggas from the west side.
Yeah, you pull up to the flame.
They'll ride you through the flame. Nigga. Yeah.
I ain't got that on my wheel. I seen that shit.
Nah, I'm just saying, bro. It's like nigga, a lot of niggas. New face though, like a lot of niggas.
In my wheel.
Right.
Ride me through the flame.
Yeah, I got an amendment to make. Yeah, ride me through the flame.
They do that. Like the family will do that. Like. Yeah, shout it low.
Did that too, did it?
So nigga, look, I ain't just.
But he wasn't the first one to do it. Either,
no,
man.
I'm saying,
it's a traditional West Side thing.
No, that shit going. Like,
well, you from the West Side?
I didn't know that was part of it. Going in mine now.
I ain't just come to Atlanta, nigga, and just hang out with the celebrities and shit.
Put the flame.
You were the celebrity.
I came here. I linked in with the celebs. I did that shit. But I mean, nigga, I went deep east.
How you link up with Lil Jon?
From that song, Who You With?
Who you with? Get crunk. Who you with?
Uh-huh. I tried to get the remix on that.
Mm.
And I said, I used to see Lil Jon rocking the parties. And I never would really like probably say nothing more than what's up. knew exactly who he was. He knew who I was. But one day I just rolled up on him. I said, "Bro, you need to let me you need to let me rap on that remix." Who you with didn't have no rapper. It was all Chance.
To the flow.
Yeah, like it was, yeah. Nobody busted any kind of bars.
Yeah.
I was like, "Nigga, let me rap on that." And then later in life, who rapped on it? Darrow, Ice Cream Paint Job, fucking hit. I've been telling him, "Nigga, let me rap on it."
Right.
He said, "Nah, we gotta make something new. That's we made couldn't be a better player." And the day he came by the studio, my studio, I wasn't there. Y'all know where my studio was at?
Where?
Oakland City, nigga.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah,
you get off the Oakland City Martyr, stop, and walk one block.
You found Oakland down here. You found Oakland.
Yeah. Nigga went right back to Oakland.
That's right, yeah.
Deal Street, nigga.
Yeah, I know where he is.
You know what them niggas told me?
Like,
the Atlanta niggas told me. They're like, nigga, don't put a studio over there, nigga.
Right.
They're like,
Deal Street,
niggas.
I think
they
still use your studio to this day.
I hope so, but look. Nigga, Oakland City. I went straight to them niggas, like, nigga, what's up, man? I love y'all niggas. Deal Street, love y'all niggas. Right. Niggas right around the fucking Nicky's steward ad around the corner, running shoot, all that shit.
Yeah.
What's your studio on the corner?
No, it's in the middle, across the street from that middle school. It's in the middle.
Okay.
Man, that's...
Them two little brick buildings in the middle.
Oakland City, man. Straight west side. She ain't on the end of Compton. You did.
What y'all make
back
when
then, they said the Oakland City niggas was robbing everybody. I don't know if that's true, but they said...
I mean, they were. They were like on the end.
So when you and Lil John Mate got together, y'all made the joint. And then you said
then
later
we just
on...
We kept making songs, bro. We just kept making songs. Lil John, I don't know if I tell that story.
Tell the story. If it long
I'm going to tell the short version.
Okay, man.
Lil John was in a contract,
right,
and I bought the contract out. He was like in a contract dispute with somebody, and I was, you know, the nigga, he couldn't do what he wanted to do.
Right.
And I knew the nigga who had the contract, and I was like, he didn't want no gangster shit, wasn't no tough shit. I was like, bro, what's up with you and John? He's like, John owes me some money. I ain't letting him out of his contract. I'm like, how much money? He told me the amount, and I was like, bam. I was like, and Lil John was like, what I owe you? I was like, nigga, just give me beats forever.
Right.
I knew he was the shit. I didn't want to sign him because he was already A&R at So Def. The records we was doing, he was breaking them.
Yeah.
Right? Couldn't be a better player he was breaking those records through his fucking channels of being a DJ and being an A&R at So Def. He was sending shit out and the shit immediately blow up.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm not trying to be his boss.
Right.
I'm like, nigga, I want to be your homie, nigga. Like, here, let's go. So, you know.
Who are some of the other people that you caught before they blew up to where you was
I used
like,
to work with Jazzy Faye a lot.
For real?
A lot. I mean, we had the Rim Shop. Y'all know about the Rim Shop, Peachtree, Ralph McGill, the Rim Shop.
Mm-hmm.
They called it the Eric Sermon Rim Shop. But, you know, it was all of us. It was Red Man. It was the Lost Boys. It was a lot of motherfuckers. Like, a lot of Tupac's coming out all the time. It was right now, if you go to that corner where that Rim Shop was, they tore that motherfucker down. It's a parking lot.
Where was it?
Ralph McGill. There's a church right there.
Talking about Ralph McGill, right down the corner.
Oh, you got to give us a Tupac story then.
I know exactly what you
Tupac
mean.
Tupac story, bro. Like that nigga is a different nigga every time you see him. I've never seen the same Tupac twice. He was like they be trying to show the image of what Tupac was, and like, bro, he was always like drastically different. Like most Geminis, you know what I'm saying? Just niggas just bruh. Tupac stories. I used to really like when Tupac was in Oakland before he came out here for a long time too.
Yeah.
He was in Atlanta for a long time. He was in LA for a long time. And he was in Oakland in the Bay. I knew a lot of his homies that he hung with because it was in music circles. And I was older than them niggas. I'm older than like all you niggas. So
yeah.
So I always feel like I'm platinum. I've been platinum before most niggas. You know, Shock G.
Digital Underground.
Was the leader of Digital Underground. But Tupac was a little homie in the crew. You can go look at an old video I put out. It's like Short Dogs in the House live in concert or something. And Shock G he's backstage being like the behind the scenes host for my video. And Tupac, just a little nigga in the background, just damn, he's a little homie. But Tupac started coming of age, and I really, I looked at him, and I was like, I like the nigga, right? I looked at him, I seen it, but I'm East Oakland nigga, right? And I'm like, I seen him. He used to always keep his little thing. He was not a punk. He was, like, ready for whatever. He was a real one. But I was like, I cannot bring this nigga around my homies because it's going to be like oil and fire. Right. And I was like, when Tupac got to L.A. and they let him get around, he went 10,000 miles an hour. I knew it. I was like, I cannot bring this nigga around my homies. So I literally made a conscious effort to not ever bring Tupac to, like, he got with Richie. He found his way to Richie Rich.
Right.
Richie Rich plugged him, they, you know, all that. Brenda's got a baby and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. G's get to
when
go.
My homies call,
that's one of my favorite songs ever.
When my homies call, you look at my homies call, that's Richie Rich in the drop top. And, you know, he gave Pac the town. But I said I wouldn't do it because I didn't want that guilt of this. I knew he was, like, he was going to take to that shit, like,
absorb
like,
it.
Yeah, and right. I was like, I can't bring him around the niggas because the kind of niggas I was running with at the time, they'd have been like, oh, you want to be a G? Come on, nigga.
Right. Yeah.
Come on, nigga, let's go be a G. I was like, I'm not doing that to him. Yeah. I wouldn't do that to none of y'all.
Hey, man.
That's real shit, though.
Man, welcome back to the 85 South Show. Yeah, man.
We're in here kicking good game with Too Short today.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Carlos Miller of the 85 South Show, and I appreciate you checking out my guest. Oh, we're not through yet. Click the link so you can check out part two of this interview with my special guest. That's right. Click that link, part two.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.